I can't explain why sometimes you gotta just like push through the mud. You gotta like pick up your boots and just drag them. And then sometimes it's like skating on ice. This morning I feel like God's presence is so powerful. And I feel like it's gonna be skating on ice. God, may you speak to each and every soul in here today. First, I want to give thanks to the wonderful children's program. Wasn't that awesome? Amen. Miss Abby and her daughter, Miss Sarah, who led it this morning, the whole team, everybody in charge, Miss Sherry Urkel, her husband Jim, all the teachers, all the kids that prepared, all the time that was put in that. Wonderful job. Thank you so much for blessing us with that. It was so sweet, isn't it? You know what the Bible says about that? It says, train your children in the way of the Lord, and when they grow old, they will what? They shall not depart from it. Amen. Hey, that's for somebody in here today. You may have raised your children up in the Lord, and right now it feels like they're wavering and gone off somewhere. It feels like maybe they're lost and broken, but it says when they grow old, they shall not depart. Claim that in your life right now. Pray over your children that they're coming back to God, that the prodigal son, the prodigal daughter is coming, and you are going to be there with arms wide open, just like God is there with arms wide open, and you're going to run to them and say, I've been waiting for you, son or daughter. Just claim that over them. Amen. 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 If you don't train your kids up in the Lord, who will? Let me tell you, the world will train them the way they want to train them. That's not a good thing. So who's this guy behind this pulpit? My name is Pastor Harris. I'm the lead pastor here at First Open Bible, and it's my honor today to bring God's word to you. I'm so thankful you're here today. Oh, look at that. We're on time. What does that mean? We got like 2-3 hours to go. Glory to God. And all the people that came for the Christmas program said, what? I'm just playing. Not unless the Spirit of God comes. We're going to listen to him. And whatever he wants to do, we're going to do. But God has a great word for you today. Amen? Amen. I was just thinking about that when I was talking about it, that the presence of God, it feels like you're skating on ice, or it feels like things go smoother, or you can just feel the tangible presence of God. Because I think in God's word, it says something like this, where two or more gathered in my name, he will be with us. So, and then it also talks about an expectation. See, you're going to get what you want, and you're going to get what you expect, and you're going to get what you ask for. Amen? So there's a lot of people in here today that I think are really, really tugging on heaven. Amen? And God's word says this. It says that we can have heaven here on earth. Isn't that amazing? Heaven here on earth. Why do I agree with that? Well, because if we didn't agree with that, then we wouldn't have had Jesus, because he truly was heaven here on earth. Amen? Emmanuel, God with us. But it said, it's better that I go, and he ascended to heaven, and he said, my Father's going to send the Holy Spirit, right? So the Holy Spirit came to dwell not only around us and with us, but in us, church. The presence of the living God. If Jesus Christ is the Lord of your life, I'm not just saying you don't just say a prayer and live how you want. That doesn't mean that you're saved. That just means you said a prayer. See, when Jesus comes, he doesn't just sprinkle something, he transforms. Amen? He transforms your life. So if Jesus Christ has transformed your life, then that means that your spirit is alive and active. It says it is made brand new. You are a born-again Christian. What's that? What does that mean? That means the Spirit of the living God is alive in you. Amen? So guess what? Wherever you go, God goes. Amen? Because he's in you. So here we are. We're at the end of the Advent series. Next week we'll have a Christmas Eve service next Sunday, but we also have a one-hour Christmas Eve actual service Monday night, 6:30 to 7:30. We'd love to have you come. But today is the end of Advent. See, we're talking about God with us. God with us. Aren't you thankful there's God with us? Can you imagine a world without God? Chaos, anger, hate, destruction. Well, we get that now. Yeah, you're right. Imagine totally releasing God from this nation. See, no matter how far we are or how far we think we've gone to the other side or allowed the world to shape us, there are still Christians. There are still churches. There are still churches like this church that believe for a move of God, that believe that God's word is truth, that believe there's such a thing as sin. Amen? That the Bible is truth from cover to cover, that this is God's written word. There are still churches that believe in God's manifest presence. There are still churches that believe in miracles, signs, and wonders. There are still churches believing that Jesus is coming back. Amen? So as long as there's people believing like that, even if we have to meet underground, like in China, sometimes they have to meet underground churches, even if we have to do something like that, church, there's always hope. Amen? There's always hope. There's always love. There is always joy. And today, God with us, God brings us peace. Amen? God brings us peace. So when you think about Christmas, you probably don't think about war, do you? Right? You don't think about war. Now you can get all spiritual on this, and I can get that way too. If you really think about it, think about Jesus coming to earth. Now, this is not the way I'm going, but I just feel like saying this. You live in a battleground. Every single day, every moment, when you're sleeping, when you wake up, when you're even in church right now, you're in a war. And you don't think that Jesus, the general, when he came as a baby, there wasn't a war? Oh yeah, there was a war. But when you think Christmas, you probably don't think war. See, the cold cruelty of war seems about as opposite as you can get from the warm generosity of the holiday season. The pain and the suffering of the battle contradicts the joy and the celebration of Christmas. But to those who fought in World War I, right? Raise your hand if you're in World War I. Okay, all right. Right? Amen. Somebody raise their hand in the back. That's just mean, man. That's just mean. He's like, that's you. All right. But those who fought in World War I, Christmas arrived right in the midst of an intense global battle. Life in the trenches, they were brutal and they were gruesome. They were nasty. New technologies such as tanks and mustard gas, they advanced military capabilities to kill even more efficiently and to kill even more painfully. But against all these odds, many individuals chose peace. Church, we say peace. December 1914, early in the war, many German and British soldiers took peace into their own hands on that Christmas Eve. So what did they do? They sang and they played carols to each other across the destroyed no man's land, finding that they knew the same songs, even though the lyrics were in different languages. Right? Now I can say this because Holzapfel is Americanized German. Can you imagine a German song? Anyway, I'm pretty sure the British people, I hope they sang louder because, singing Christmas songs in German. Glory to God. All right. See, early Christmas Day in 1914, German soldiers walked across the scarred landscape, unarmed and shouting, "Merry Christmas! Merry Christmas! Merry Christmas!" to their enemies. Allied soldiers, they're a little distrustful at first. They crawled out of their trenches and they joined them, shaking hands, exchanging gifts of cigarettes and plum pudding. And they sang Christmas carols together. Okay, church, think about this, right? Mustard gas. Killing all their friends, running over them with tanks, blowing people up, grenades, shooting people, lost arms, tourniquets, blood, gore, terrible, hurt, and they just all stopped for a moment. Two enemies getting up from their trenches, walking across dead man's land right there, and saying Merry Christmas in different languages, sitting down, sharing cigarettes, plum pudding, and whatever else that they had out there at the middle of war, and they chose peace. This isn't a story, church. This is real. This is history. This happened. Did you know that history.com says there was even a documented game of soccer during this unofficial ceasefire? They played a game of soccer together. But unfortunately, this Christmas truce was never repeated. The officers made sure that would never happen again because they threatened punishments if that would happen again. But on that special day in 1914, enemies placed their shared humanity before their grievances, and they experienced the Christmas spirit of peace in a truly powerful way. So Christmas is typically thought of as the season of joy. Amen? But it can be very painful for many people during this season. It can be very heartbreaking during this season. Maybe you're one of them. What kind of battles do you face today? What kind of battles do you face during the holiday season? Thanksgiving, Christmas, Christmas Eve, New Year's Eve. What pain is relentlessly bombarding you as you hunker down in the trenches of life? What darkness haunts you under the twinkling lights, the candles, the soft music, and the decorations? You know what God loves? God loves a real church, an authentic, real church. It's easy to put on the Sunday morning facade, isn't it? Put on that mask. How you doing? I'm blessed. But underneath, I'm broken and I'm crushed and I'm destroyed. Be real, church. Be real. It's good news today. I bring good news, church. I bring good news. God's peace under that facade, under your chains, under whatever clothes that you brought in this morning, God's peace can fill us. God's peace can rule us within. Even when we're surrounded by death, even if we're surrounded by evil. God's presence, church, and his peace can pierce even the darkest and most painful circumstances. It can pierce any war, any emotional valley we can find ourselves in. We just need to lean into God who is with us. Amen? Amen. So today, we continue our Advent journey toward Christmas. It's almost here. Can you believe it? Some of y'all haven't even shopped yet. Can you say procrastinator? Come on. Y'all going to go out with the crazies? That's crazy. What are you thinking? You better get to the store tomorrow. Amen? I'm telling you. Do you remember? Okay, 1995. You remember this? Total side note. Remember Tickle Me Elmo? Y'all remember that? Tickle Me Elmo. People getting punched, beat up. They had to go to the hospital because everybody wanted Tickle Me Elmo and there was only a certain amount of them. And they waited till the last second. Raise your hand if you haven't bought gifts yet. That's you! That's you! That's you! You all acting crazy. That's you in the back. Come on now. Tickle Me Elmo. You know what was actually brilliant? Some people went out and bought Tickle Me Elmo for $30, $35. And they sold it online. Back then they didn't have all the things we have now. I think it was like eBay or something. They sold online for $1,000. Some were going for $1,000. You think that's ludicrous? No, that's absolutely brilliant if you bought it for $30. Come on. We got to lean into God. Here we are, Advent season toward Christmas. We're really, really close to Christmas. And we're focusing this morning on peace. We celebrate peace. The peace that has brought into this world by Emmanuel, God with us. If you've been journeying with us the past 3 weeks toward Christmas, you know we've been celebrating Advent. What is Advent? It's a word that means two different things. It either means coming or it means arrival. And this season is marked by expectation. It's marked by waiting, anticipation, and longing. Advent is not just an extension of Christmas, but it's a season that brings the past, the present, and the future all together. Advent looks back in celebration of the hope that's filled in Jesus Christ when he came, while at the same time we're looking forward in hopeful, eager anticipation of the coming of Christ's kingdom. It's coming. He's coming. He's coming. He's coming again. Amen? If you're excited for Christ coming again, say amen.
Amen.
Woo, come on. Each week, we have focused in on a different attribute of God. Each one represents the coming of Christ. It represents God with us. It represents Emmanuel. It represents Jesus. Hope, love, joy, and today, peace. Amen. Will you turn to your neighbor and say, peace? Just your neighbor, not in front of you. Come on now. Way back in our history. No, that's good. I love a friendly church. It's good. Way back in our history, way back in the Old Testament, right? God gave the laws to Moses. Amen? Okay, total side note. Do not forsake the laws. Amen? We have grace, yes, but the laws structure grace. There's a reason why we have grace, and there's a reason why we have laws. Are the laws are they gone? Did Jesus say, I came so no laws exist anymore? No, he said, I came to fulfill the laws. I came to fulfill these things. So don't just fall into grace all the time and think, I can do whatever I want. Guess what that is? That's spitting on the cross. That's what that is. See, Jesus gave us grace so we don't have to sin anymore. And he gave us laws into how we don't have to sin anymore and how we can live our life. It is a map. Amen? It's a map. I'm thankful God gave laws to Moses. Think about if he didn't. We just go around killing anybody we wanted to. Oh, forgive me. Sorry about that. Right? It'd be absolute chaos, anarchy. It'd be destruction. It'd be horrible. It'd be pure evil. It's not God. So in the Old Testament, God gave laws to Moses, and he set up the roles and the duties of the priests. He also gave them the ultimate blessing to speak to the people. It's found in Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 through 26, to say this. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you his peace. Amen. The Hebrew word that was used in this blessing and throughout the Old Testament is the word shalom. Shalom. Will you say shalom? Now, we've heard it before. Maybe you've heard it and you think it's just a greeting. It's way more than a greeting. It's way more than just, oh, shalom, shalom. Hey, peace be with you. Oh, that's great. You know, it's don't say it just like that. Today, you're going to learn what the word shalom means. The way God intended it to mean. See, shalom, it conveys a rich and powerful meaning. It means so much more than just the absence of fighting. It means so much more than just the absence of war. This is what shalom reflects. It reflects safety. It reflects completeness. And it reflects wholeness. This is the type of peace that was brought to us by God with us. Jesus, guess what he is? He's the Prince of Shalom. The Prince of Shalom. See, that's what stinks about the English language. All our words are, not all our words, most of our words are pretty shallow, right? Hey, I love you. I love my wife. I love this podium. And I love my dog. And I love this Bible. They're not all the same loves. And I love God, right? We just have one word. It's very shallow. So we're going to get deep into this word, what the word means, shalom. So that way we don't just say peace. It means so much more. Because Jesus isn't just the Prince of Peace, our word. He's the Prince of Shalom. It was foretold by the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7 tell us this. If you want to write down notes in your bulletin, it says notes. Feel free to write. We have a podcast that you can go back on our website, listen to any of these sermons at any time you would like. If you'd like to get more in that and dig into God's word or receive what God is saying to you. But note takers are what? History makers. Amen. Take notes, because when you walk out, you probably forget. Why? Because we use 12% of our brain. That's why. Right? But in heaven, amen, I think Adam used all of his brain. Isaiah 9, 6 and 7. For a child is born to us. A son is given to us. Amen. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and his peace, church, will never end. He will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all eternity. The passionate commitment of the Lord of the heaven's armies will make this happen. Amen. The Jews of Jesus' day, guess what? They lived in rule under the Roman Empire. They were a conquered people. So what do they want? They expected, see, this is what we do too, church. We expect God to be something that we can put in a box. Even the Jews, God's people, Israelites, expected the Messiah to be something that is earthly as opposed to something that is from heaven, even though they knew it was the Messiah. They expected Jesus to be a military ruler, right? Like a strong ruler. Follow me into battle. We will take over all the Romans and we will take back our land, right? Or they expected him to be this great political ruler, to rise people up and riot and do the things that they want him to do. But see, church, that's not how Jesus came as the Messiah. The Jews, they longed for shalom. The concept of shalom was foundational to their culture. It was foundational to their spiritual life. Shalom is peace that calms our souls deeply. It is the song, "It Is Well With My Soul." To me, that's the best way we know how to say shalom in song form. That is how we tell God, "Thank you for shalom. It is well with my soul. My life is a mess. These things are a mess, and all these circumstances are around me, and I am a mess. But God, it is well with my soul. Because I don't have to understand all these things, but God, your shalom is in me, around me, and through me. Your presence is here." See, no matter what swirls around your life or what storms you may face, it is well with your soul if Jesus is with you. This is the peace we celebrate today. So one day, Jesus, he will return and he will heal all that's been broken. He will restore God's complete kingdom, the kingdom of shalom. So near the end of Jesus' life, he spoke these words to his disciples. It was shortly before he was arrested and crucified. It's in John chapter 14. It's verse 27. Jesus said this to his disciples: "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Jesus knew his followers, his disciples, all the ones that believed in him, were about to get a crushing blow. But he had a gift for them. A gift that's different from anything in our world. A gift that is not absent of pain. A gift that's not absent of hurt. A gift that's not absent of noise. A gift that's not absent of violence. A gift that's not absent of uncertainty. See, this gift, church, is peace. And this peace is a person. Peace is Jesus with us as the Prince of Peace, as the Prince of Shalom. Even in what would appear to be the most hopeless of situations, Jesus, with his disciples, said, "There's peace." Just like Jesus says today, there's peace. His peace is his presence. For Christ himself is our peace. So as we experience God's presence, we become interwoven and inseparable from this peace that is him. It's him. This is the peace of Jesus. You ever met that sweet, maybe older lady or older man, and you just know they radiate the presence of God? Have you ever been around somebody like that? If you have, say amen. You just know, wow, God, I want to grow up. I want to be so rooted in your love and your peace and your joy and your thankfulness and my thankfulness to you, that I want to be like somebody like that. That you just know, like, you know, hey man, they're maybe battling cancer. Maybe they saw a son or daughter pass away before they did. Maybe they've faced some pains and some hurts. Maybe people have left them or hurt them, or maybe they've lost jobs or done these things in their life that's just heartbreaking. But something in them is just steady, like a rock, right? And you just know that you ask them, and they don't just say, "Oh, I'm blessed." They look into your eyes, and deep down you say, "Wow, something is amazing in them. The presence of God is so powerful." You ever met somebody like that? See, church, you know what that is? It's the presence of shalom. That's what that is. That's peace. That's no matter what I have faced, no matter what I've gone through, no matter what. See, those people that you think of probably have been in the presence of God for many, many years. Don't expect to microwave your relationship with Jesus. Okay? It's a slow cook, right? It's a slow cook. Amen. You know things are better when they're slow cooked anyway. You ever have some barbecue? Maybe throw some barbecue in a microwave or throw some barbecue on a slow cooker. What would you rather eat? Amen. Amen. Smells better, tastes better, falls apart, man. It's just sweet, sweet presence of God. Sweet presence of God. So you got to spend time with God. And the more time you spend with God, the more His shalom will enter in your life. The more you'll realize who He is and what He's done. The more you'll realize who you truly serve. Amen? A lot of times we say a prayer and we follow God for a day or a week or a month, and then we get discouraged and we fall back into the world. But God calls two things out of us. He wants us to be faithful and He wants us to be obedient. Amen? You don't always have to understand. And Pentecostals, listen, you don't always have to feel it. Okay? Your feelings are fleeting. Your feelings will lie to you. But God, when He's with you, His feelings and His presence, they do fill you. You will feel the presence of God. Amen? Amen. God, He's so powerful. I love this verse, Ephesians 2, 14 through 16. What does the Prince of Peace do for us? For Christ Himself has brought peace to us. He united the Jews and the Gentiles into one people. When? In His own body on the cross. He broke down the wall of hostility and that separated us. He did this by ending the system of the law with its commands and its regulations. He made peace between Jews and Gentiles by creating in Himself one new people from two groups. Together as one body, Christ reconciled both groups to God by means of His death on the cross. And our hostility toward each other was put to death. I want to teach on this for a second, amen? This goes not just people who live in Israel and people who live in America or wherever else in the world. This goes deeper. See, God with us, Emmanuel, the Prince of Shalom, brings peace between us and God. Amen? We're made right with God because of what Jesus did on the cross. Without Jesus, there is no other way. I don't care what any other religion says. I don't care what any other knowledge says. It's that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. This is truth. I've experienced it. I've walked it. I've lived it. I know. I know both ends. I know what it's like to live without Jesus and what it's like to live with Him. And let me tell you, the day that I accepted Christ, I never had such great peace that night. I slept so good. Amen. You remember that night when you said, Jesus, come and fill me completely. Change my life. And you lay your head down at night and you don't have any regrets or any pain or this unforgiveness. You just feel this overwhelming peace that comes upon you. It's like the most incredible blanket that just laid on you, and you felt like you were laying, cuddling, wrapped around God's arms, and you slept like a baby, man. It was so incredible. See, that's what happens. But guess what else? His peace also brings peace among God's people. Preaching to you, whoever's got some sort of hurt or pain or unforgiveness to anyone else who's a believer. Speaking to you right now. Speaking to that unforgiveness that you want to hold on to that's killing nobody but yourself. See, because we are all, say all.
All.
Say all.
All.
Say all.
All.
We are all drawn together and unified in God through Jesus. This is the perfect picture of shalom, wholeness, safety, restoration to all God's people as one. Amen. There's not going to be sections in heaven worshiping, right? The Pentecostals over there and the Baptists over there and the Catholics, you know, and the Jews that accepted Jesus Christ, you know, you got front row, right? You know, you know, it's not like that. We're all going to celebrate together. We're all going to worship the King of Kings. Amen? Church, let's do it now. Let's do it now. Jesus, his peace is not simply that we agree to disagree. What a stupid saying. Yeah, I said it from the pulpit. Authority of God. Stupid saying, I agree to disagree. No, you don't. It is in that, in him, we are made one. See, Jesus came, gave the peace, not that we could agree to disagree. It's so that way we can come together as one. That Jesus Christ is Lord and we will follow him. Everything else is secondary. See, we do this in wholeness because we're reconciled to God and we're reconciled to the other children of God. That's awesome. Praise God. Amen? Think right now in your heart, is there anybody that loves Jesus? Anybody in your life that loves Jesus and you've been arguing and fighting with them? You have unforgiveness in your heart from them. Things have not been settled with them. That is not how a Christian should act. It's God's word. We need to come and reconcile that together. Do you wait for the other person? Only if you're immature. Did Jesus wait for us to get it right before he went to the cross? Are we supposed to represent the disciples or are we supposed to represent Jesus? Go. Run to them. There is no time to waste. Call them after service. Do whatever you have to do. Call them up. Write them a letter. Do what you must do. Show up at their house and say, forgive me. See, no matter what happens, even if it's 90 to 10 and they've done 90, guess what? Apologize for your 10. Apologize for it. Takes two to tango, baby. Two to tango. We must live together at peace. How will the world know that Jesus is real? By the what? By the way that what? It's not just love. It's not just love. By love. No, no. It's by the way we what? Love one another. Baby mic drop. Amen. Amen. This doesn't seem as impactful as a big mic, so. All right, here we are. How peaceful is your life? How peaceful is your life? How peaceful really is your life? For many of us, peace sounds like a long way off. Yeah, whatever, Pastor. Nice try. You're a pastor. You don't know what it's like. No, seriously, people believe that. Right? When I became pastor, I didn't become non-human. Right? Nice concept. This peace thing you talk about. It is something I long for. If only we could feel the peace of God with us. Only if we could. Last story before I close. Have you ever heard the story of the disciples on the boat in the Sea of Galilee? Many of you have, but not everybody. I want to tell it briefly. Think about this. So the disciples, there's 12 of them. A good portion of those disciples were fishermen. What does that mean? That means they fished on boats for a living. All the time. They're used to it. They saw all kinds of gnarly stuff. They saw all kinds of terrible things. They went on some crazy storms, I'm sure. They knew what it was like to almost sink many times. I don't know if there's swim lessons or not. Some of them maybe couldn't even swim. I don't know what it was like back then. But think about this. Many of them were fishermen by trade, and this is what the Bible says. And they have been on that sea many, many times. But something was different this day. They had been in many storms before, but something was particularly worse this day. The boat took on water, and they were terrified. Okay, think about what you are really, really, really good at. They get you in that situation. What would take you to be terrified? See, as the waves rose and the wind howled, Jesus slept through it all. Right? Man, some of y'all can sleep through anything, but that's pretty impressive. See, finally the disciples shook him. Jesus, don't you care what happens to us? We're going to die. Mark 4, 37, 38, and 39 says this in the New King James Version. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so they were already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow, and they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Amen. Guess what? Those disciples sound like us, don't they? Sound like me. When things aren't looking good for us, we often get quick to cry out, "God, don't you even care about me? Don't you see that I'm going to die? Don't you see that this is hard in my life?" We think that God's not paying attention. Oh, sorry about that. Or doesn't realize the magnitude of our situation. And guess what we do? We add more to our storm. Yeah, I don't think this boat's filling up fast enough. I'll start picking up some worry and throw it in there. I'll start picking up some fear. Hey, guess what? My mouth is going to say everything negative I can think. I'm going to keep dumping this water in here. I can't wait to sink. Whew. So here's the reality. God is there. See, he is God with us. And he knows all that swirls around us and within us. The power of his peace is not diminished by the size of your storm. Amen. So how do we get this kind of peace? Pastor, that's great. How do we get this kind of peace? You've heard it before, but do you do it? It comes through one thing and one thing only. It comes through prayer. Prayer. Like, I don't know what prayer is. Have you ever talked to a human in your life? Just like that, talk to God. Okay, here's a better example. Have you ever talked to somebody that you really, really honor? Somebody that you really, really respect? And you know, you come to them in reverence, and you kind of like, you want to talk to them, and you can't wait to hear what they have to say. You ever, you know somebody, raise your hand if you know somebody like that. You're like, "Man, I really respect that person. Every time I'm around, I really want to hear it." Raise your hand. Hi. A lot of, everybody? I hope everybody. If you don't, you need to find somebody. Right? Some people didn't raise their hand, so they must not know anybody they respect or love or honor. So you got to find somebody like that. See, that's what it's like to talk to God. When you approach God, you're like, "Oh God, you know, I love you and I thank you for my day, and everything's going good, but there's some things that are going on, God, and I need your help. You always have great wisdom. You always know what's going on. And will you help me in this situation? Lord, I don't know what to do, but whatever you say, I'm gonna respect that. I'm gonna honor that. I'm gonna do that because I honor and love you and I respect you," right? Just talk to God like an everyday conversation. Prayer is not as hard as we make it, right? You don't have to say these prayers in line and perfect. Does God expect you not to be perfect? No, he wouldn't have made you human, right? We're not perfect. We're in the fall of man. It's just not going to happen. Come to God with all your imperfections. Come to God with all of your insecurities. Come to God with all of your fear. Come to God with whatever you have on, with whatever you're doing. God wants you now, right here. He wants to meet you exactly where you're at. He doesn't expect you to clean up, right? He doesn't expect you to clean up. He comes to you dirty, filthy, messy, whatever you want to be. You come to him like that, and what does he do? He cleans you up. He loves you. He wraps you in clothes of righteousness. He washes you as white as snow. But how can he wash something in snow if it's already looking like snow? So you got to be dirty to come to God anyway. Come on now. Just talk to God like you talk to somebody you love, somebody you respect and honor. See, it's through prayer where he changes our storms. It's through prayer, this is even better. This is much more theological, actually. He actually, through prayer, changes your heart, your mindset, your emotions, your will, all this, in the midst of your storm. That's more theologically correct. See, he doesn't always correct your storms, because sometimes you have to walk through a storm to realize what it's like to live without a storm. right? You can never understand a mountaintop without a valley. It just doesn't work. If you're always living on a mountaintop, you'll never appreciate the mountaintop. You take it for granted. Consider all trials joy. See, God's peace is able to bring a powerful transformation. Say transformation. In our lives. See, that's a business God's in. Transforming things, restoring things, renewing, repurposing things. See, God repurposed my life. When he found me, purposed me. I didn't have this purpose for my life. God wants to repurpose your life. So we can bring all our needs to God. Philippians, this is a good one to write. If you're writing anything down, this is a great two verses. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. The NLT version says, don't worry about anything. Say what? My world's a mess. No. Don't worry about anything. But don't you know, Jesus, wake up. Get off that pillow. I'm going to die on this boat. No. Don't worry about anything. Well, then what am I supposed to do? Next word, instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need. God, I need you to rescue me right now. I got nothing else. I'm desperate. Thank him. See, don't forget to thank him. And thank him for all that he's done. God, you have gotten me this far. God, you've protected me. I'm alive today, and I wouldn't be alive if it weren't for you. I thank you for that. But Lord, this is what I need. Then you will experience. See, it's after that, right? Then you will experience. I don't got God's peace. Well, have you asked God, tell God what you need. Have you thanked him for what he's already done? Because if you have, then you, verse 7, then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and your minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Powerful, powerful two verses. It's really, really rich. And there's a lot of things that you must do in there and ways that we must think. First, what I love is this. Peace exceeds anything we can understand. You don't got to get it to get it. You don't got to understand it to receive it. As we talk to God and we give him thanks, God's peace swells within us. When peace shouldn't naturally exist in the midst of our struggles, see, that's when God with us steps in. What my natural mind don't understand? Well, that's great, because God ain't natural. Right? What is God? Say it like it's super. What is God? He's supernatural. That's why you don't understand it. He's supernatural. He exceeds your understanding. He exceeds your situation. He exceeds your time. He exceeds your pain. He exceeds your heartbreak. He exceeds the cancer and the sickness. He exceeds those things because he is supernatural. The Prince of Peace, the giver of shalom, gives his spirit of peace to you, to me, and to us as one body. Christmas, it's in a little over a week from today. So, whatever life may hold for you this holiday season, remember that Jesus comes in power as the Prince of Peace. He is always with us, restoring us to God through wholeness and through comfort. I want to read one verse, and then I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit just to move. I'm going to ask him to just tell me what to do. Amen? Before we close. Brent, will you come up, please? Just Brent. Thank you, sir. I want to leave you with a verse. This is a great verse. Write this one down, too. You didn't bring a paper? You brought your hands. Write it on your hand. Why not? You did it as a kid. Do it now. We have soap. You can wash it off. It's all good. Second Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 16. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you his peace at all times and in every situation. The Lord be with you all. Amen. When writing a sermon, that's called a benediction. means the end. Writing a sermon and putting a benediction, as a Pentecostal says, it's the beginning of the end. Amen? Amen. It's the first ending, yeah. It's the first closing, glory to God. I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to ask God to move. I've seen a few things in my spirit and a few things that God wants to do, and I just want to ask him which one it is. Which one's me, which one's what I'm dreaming, and which one's God? What's his desire? Father, we thank you for this word. We thank you for the message from the presence of God. Lord, we come to you right now as the Prince of Shalom. There are people in here that are broken and not whole. There are people in here today that need the Prince of Peace to step in their life. There are people even in here today that said, oh, that's good, but it's not for me. It's a lie from the devil. It's a lie from the devil. He didn't die on the cross for some. He died for all. And that includes you. Father, we love you. And as we go today, God, I thank you so much for this awesome service. The presence of your spirit has been so sweet. I can feel people tugging from heaven saying, God, I need something today. What good would church be if we didn't leave transformed? What good would church be with this time together if we didn't leave motivated, moved, and wanting to change something, God? Because every single time we walk into your presence, Lord, we are changed. Lord, I ask that right now that you lead me into what you would like to do, Holy Spirit. Speak to not only my mind, but my heart and my spirit, Lord. May I get out of my own strength and into yours, God. And I know there's people in here today that need to be touched by the living God. And we ask, Lord, that you lead. I'm reminded, God, of your word. Lord, I don't have to tell you a word because you know it. You wrote it. It is you. But I'm reminded in your word, it says in the last days, you will pour out your spirit on all men and women. We will prophesy. We'll see healings. We'll see miracles, signs, and wonders. There will be visions. There'll be dreams. And these will not be things of natural, but the supernatural, because that's who you are, God. But they will manifest themselves in the natural, and we thank you for that. But we follow after you even though we don't see you, because that is what we have faith to believe is true. But Lord, there's people right now in here today that need the peace, the shalom of God. Lord, I pray that right now you anoint my hands, that as I touch someone, that I touch them and they feel your peace. It's not me, but it's you. God, lead me into who needs your peace right now. Touch of God. Jesus. Church, we got to be a praying church. Right now, ask God in your own words. Say it out loud or say it in your heart. Say it in your mind. God can hear them all. So remember what the verse we read is, bring all your needs to God. Thank him for what he's done. Thank him for what he's going to do. Thank him for his peace and his restoration. Peace of God, come. Shalom. Peace, come right now. God, touch her right now. Peace, fill her right now from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet. She feel your presence right now. She's going to leave change. They've changed, God. You're God with us. Your manifest presence is with us. Worthy, God. Right now, fill her. Fill her. Her and her whole family right now feel the peace of God. It's going to be okay. Even when it looks terrible, it's going to be okay. He knows. This doesn't surprise him. Fill her right now. Touch her. And right now, God, peace fall upon her like that blanket. Sleep well. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. peace, peace, peace be upon this man. Right now, fill him. Fill him full of your peace. Touch him right now. In Jesus' name. Thank you, God. Worship you. Thank you, Father. I haven't done this before, but I just got to be obedient to the Lord. He's saying, God wants peace. Step by here, Dennis. Miss Sue, peace be upon you, sweetie. God loves you so much. Peace fall upon her from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet. Touch her right now. Fill her. It's going to be a good season. Good season. The best one she's had in a long time. Because you're with her. And she knows it. She's going to feel it. God, in the midst of her room when she's all alone right now, I pray that you show up and let her know and whisper in her ears and speak to her heart. God, give her little gifts here and there. And God, I ask that right now that she recognizes those are from you, and may she give you thanks and glory. Fill her heart not only with peace, but joy right now. Love. Comfort. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Worship you. Thank you, God. Keep praying, church. We're almost done. Almost done. God's ministering to people. Fill right now. Fill. Fill her. Fill her. Jesus, right now. Fill her. Fill her. The battle that goes on in your head right now will be broken by the blood and by the power of Jesus. Truth will set in right now, and peace will set in. Just like in World War I, there is a time coming that the war that battles in between each trench, right now that peace is coming. Merry Christmas, Emmanuel, God with us. Right now there's a peace coming. Right now, in between both battles. Broken right now. Worship you, God. Worship you, worship you, worship you. Peace, 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 peace. It's not always going to be easy, and God didn't say it would be. But he said he'll never leave you or forsake you. He says, when it's not easy, I'm there. And when it is easy, I'm there. And when it's great, I'm there. And when it's really bad, I'm there. But I ask right now that she has a relationship with you that she's never had before. So that she's going to lean in to God, and she's going to step into that relationship with the God with us and the Emmanuel, even at this time, even though Christmas time is really heartbreaking. I just feel there's a lot of conflict in the family. Like when you go around family, man, there's this fighting and strife and anger, and you just feel like when you walk out, you kind of feel icky and gross, and you're not going to feel that. It's like this Holy Ghost armor upon you right now that you're going to walk in, and you're going to be the same person to them. But you're going to walk out unaffected by some of these things because the God of Shalom is upon you right now. His presence and his peace is upon you right now. Fill her, Lord, fill her. Let me see your hand. God loves you so much. He does. He loves you. It's going to be okay, he says. It's going to be okay. And guess what? When it's not okay, it's going to be okay. He loves you. Lord, keep speaking to me, God. Thank you, Lord. Worship you. Worship you. Oh, Daddy. I feel her pain right now. God sees it, man. You know what he says in God's word? He says he sees every tear that falls. Even when you're tough around other people, God knows the truth. He loves you. Oh, it breaks his heart that you have to battle so many things. But he says, have no fear, child of mine, for I have overcome the world. Pray for his heart right now. And crushed, persecuted, it's been broken. And even himself has thrown water into the sinking boat with his own mouth. But God, right now, restore the things that are lost. Do what only you can do. speak to that hole that is in his heart right now. Fill him completely with your love. Fire God, I ask that right now you come and consume. I ask for a miracle to take place. Lord, I believe that legs can grow out. Even though he might miss some legs from this battle, that this disease he's battling right now, by the blood and by the stripes of Jesus, be healed. Heal him from top down, God. Heal his mind. Wrap your arms around him, God. Worship you. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Worship you. Worship you. Teenager. Teenager that needs peace right now. It's you, honey. God loves you. He sees you in your room. He sees you when nobody else sees you. He sees the truth. He sees your heart. He loves you. He calls you beloved. That's what he says in his word. He says, you're my beloved. You're not the tail. You're the head. You're not beneath. You're above. You're a royal priesthood. He loves you. I ask that right now. God's peace fill her from the top of her head. May I see your hand, honey? To her hands, to her feet. Right now, fill her completely in Jesus' name. Warmth of God, surround her right now. Surround her. She's going to leave changed today. Right now, fill her. I can feel God just touching you right now, right now. Don't resist. Don't resist. It's real. God's presence is real. This is truth. I can't explain it exactly, but I know that I have to be obedient. God wants you to know he is real. Feel him right now. Just like he's sitting next to you. Just like he's holding your hand. He loves you. Thank you, God. Worship you. Peace, peace, peace. Thank you, Lord. Phil. God's ministering. Keep praying, church. Don't give up. Jesus got mad at the disciples. Said, can't you pray for 1 hour? It's 1 hour. God's asking for 15 minutes. Give him five more. Give him five more minutes. Keep praying. Pressing in. Remember, there's a war going on. There's a battle right now. Battle. Right now. In Jesus' name. Thank you, God. Fill right now. Fill him completely. Completely. Spirit of God, fill this man right now with your peace. Shalom. Shalom, son. Shalom, God says. It's not the absence of troubles. It's the presence of wholeness and completeness. It's the presence of him. Fill him right now, top of his head to the bottom of his feet. Feel the presence of God. Fill him right now. Thank you, God. Right now. Press into that. Press into that. Worship you, Lord. Worship you. Pray for this couple right now. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I'm reminded your word says you go before us in every battle. You fight for us in every battle. It doesn't mean that you totally conquer everything before us, but it means that you're fighting with us. I just want you to know that God fights with you right now. You are not left or forsaken. God's presence is real, and his peace will be upon you as you battle the things that you battle. God's peace will fill you to completeness. And even in the midst of the pain and the troubles, God is changing your mouth. He's changing your heart. He's changing your mind. That even in the midst, just like those old people I talked about, it is well with my soul. You know what? What's happening is not good, but God is still great. Even though I'm facing these battles, I still have the peace of God fall upon them right now. Like a lead blanket where it just falls on you and it's just kind of heavy, but comfortable. Fall upon them right now, the heaviness in the presence of God, the weightiness of his presence right now. Fall upon them, top of their head to the bottom of their feet, all the way out to their fingertips. Fill them, fill them, fill them right now. I just have a word for you that in the years past, the presence of God has really hit you. you've really, really felt God's presence. And it's been many years before, but it's coming again. It's coming again in a new and an exciting way. God's presence, he wants you to press in, press in, press in. He is gonna fill you like the fire that you felt before. Ooh, this is a fresh fire. This is like a new wine. Fresh fire fall upon him right now. Get that flame fanned. Presence and the power of God right now, God. Thank you. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. You're good. You're a good God. You're an awesome God. Lord, and as we go today, we go in peace. We go in shalom. Why? Because we go with you. That's why. Lord, we love you. We thank you for this holiday season. We thank you for Christmas, the greatest gift we've ever received, your son. Before we leave today, if there's anybody in here today that's never received the gift of Jesus, the presence and the power of him, that's never received the salvation before, never asked Jesus into your heart, with every head bowed and eyes closed, I want to ask you a question. Would you do yourself a favor and raise your hand and say, I want Jesus in my life. I've never had this before. I just want to agree with you, but I need to see your hand. If that's you today, will you raise your hand right now? That's you today. I see that hand. If there's anybody else in here, is there anyone else that say, Jesus, Emmanuel, I need you in my life today to transform me. I don't have peace, but God, I'm asking that you step in and be the peace in my life. That's you today. Raise your hand. Last chance. I see that hand. I see two hands. Is there anyone else? Pastor Cody or somebody, can you come with the... Is there anyone else? Last chance. It says in God's word, we're not promised tomorrow. Not to scare you, but that's reality. You're not promised any breath in your lungs. This is a gift from God. If there's anyone else that says, I need Jesus, raise your hand, please. Okay, I want to tell you something, church. Look at me up here. So the peace of God is amazing. Amen. I do feel it. But you know what else I love? I love God's joy. I do. I love the joy of the Lord. And God says in his word that when someone comes to God, it says all of heaven rejoices. What is rejoicing? It's the verb of joy. It's joy in action. So guess what? There's two people that came to Jesus. I'm going to ask them to come here in a moment. And just like heaven is celebrating, I ask that we celebrate with them. The two ladies, will you come meet me? I just want to pray for you. Will you come meet me here at the front? Celebrate, church. Amen. Amen. It says in God's word, they're celebrating. Woo! There's a party with your name on it. Amen. 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 Well, I want to follow with what God's doing. We're all going to join together in this awesome celebration. Pastor Cody has a couple books here for you that's just going to give you an explanation of what you did today and what it means to be a follower of Jesus. But it says in God's word, if we confess with our mouth, we believe in our heart that Jesus Christ is Lord and that he was raised from the dead, we shall be saved. So it's a confession with our mouth, but it's also a belief with the rest of our life that we're going to follow. Now, a lot of times churches don't do a very good job, and we're still working on it, that once you say this confession and once you do this, that you leave today and that you're not left alone, but that somebody comes alongside. So we have people in our church that are going to come up to you and they're going to talk to you. And then you brought friends and family today that are going to join in, right? There's somebody that loves you right there that's crying. That's her mama. Amen. Amen. And then you came with an awesome family as well that's going to reach out. So what we do as a church is, it says in God's word that we don't just make converts where you just say a prayer and you live, but we make disciples. What is discipleship? It means, hey, let's do life together. Let me show you. follow me as I follow Jesus. So that's what we want to do for you today. But it all starts with a prayer. Will you guys hold hands with me? Can you hold hands with each other? We're going to pray. I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to say, will you repeat after me? And then you just repeat after me. Because there's something about confession out loud. Amen? Okay, and then we're going to pray, and then the church is going to erupt, and we're going to leave, and it's going to be the best day in the world. Amen? And even when it's not, it's still going to be great. All right, Father, we love you. We thank you for your peace. We thank you for this service. We thank you for the children and the wonderful gift that we have in them. And you call them gifts, God. We thank you for the worship. We thank you for the word. We thank you for laying on the hands on people, Lord, that they would receive an unspeakable, a non-understanding, a supernatural peace that fell upon them. But God, right now we celebrate because it says two have come to the kingdom of God. In heaven, the currency is souls. And this is the most important thing to you, that you said that you died, that not one shall perish. God, I ask that right now, as they confess with their mouth, it says in your word that we're made brand new, that our spirit comes alive. We were once destined for hell because we were dead, and now we'll be destined to heaven because the Spirit of God lives in us. But it starts with a confession. It starts with a prayer. Father God, we ask that right now that you lead them. Okay, repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I give you my heart. I give you my life. I recognize that you are Emmanuel. You are my Messiah. You are the Savior of the world. Will you make my life alive right now? I believe that you came as a baby and you grew up, you died on a cross, and you rose from a grave, and you're coming back again, that you are the Messiah. May you be the Lord of my life. I love you. I do this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now make it real with him right now. Just close your eyes and make it real. Make it real. You just talk to him just like you're talking to me. Just say, thanks, God. Thank you for this day. Thank you for this message, God. Thank you that even if there was only two people in here, I was one of them that heard this message, that you speak to me today. God, that I'm not dead, that I'm alive. Lord, thank you. Thank you for this church family that's going to walk with me. And when it's hard and when it's good, we're going to do things together. Lord, teach me what it is to love you. Jesus' name. Now say amen. Now, if you need a Bible, let us know. We'll get you a Bible, okay? Actually, if you want, those Bibles that are in the pews, grab one. Let me know you grab one so I can replace it with another one. If you want one, you can have one, okay? Okay, now this is when the church celebrates. You ready? Church, will you stand and celebrate? Woo! Amen. Come and give some love. Amen. Amen. Oh, amen. Your hair is beautiful, by the way. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing and we're going to go and we're going to change the world because the world changer lives in you. Amen. Amen. Let us know if you need something, okay?
I will.